The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. So I always think about the Easter season as the season of sacraments. You can kind of think about it in the same way that Jesus would appear at different places here and there after he had risen from the dead and before he ascended into heaven. The risen Christ is appearing all over the place, and we encounter him in the sacraments that we celebrate. It started with the Easter vigil on the night before Easter Sunday. Today, we celebrate again more sacraments: baptism, confirmation, First Communion. We celebrated First Communions last weekend for all of the children in our religious education program and in our school. I've prepared a class of young men for confirmation. They will receive confirmation from Bishop Burbage at Pentecost. And of course, it's also the season for ordinations to priesthood. This coming Thursday is Ascension Thursday, even though it was moved to Sunday. A lot of people ask why churches do this, and some dioceses have and some dioceses haven't. In our diocese, we celebrate Ascension Thursday on the following Sunday. There is a point in canon law that says you cannot enact a law that will cause everyone to commit a sin. And because nobody ever comes to Mass on Ascension Thursday, many churches, sadly, this is not something it's not good news, but because nobody was coming on Ascension Thursday, that whole feast day was just lost, and everybody was committing a mortal sin because you have to go to Mass on holy days of obligation. So they moved it to a Sunday so that everybody would, have a better chance of going to heaven, actually. But what it did was it kind of messed up the novena. There's a novena of days, and the first novena ever was decidedly a novena of 9 days, just because Jesus ascended into heaven on Thursday, and 9 days later, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And this Holy Spirit novena is what we will celebrate starting this Friday. You'll find the novena prayers in the center section. You can pull out of the bulletin today, or you can find it as an attachment online to our parish webpage. But I want to talk about this novena a little bit because it's significant. This past week, I was one of the leaders at the National Workshop on Christian Unity in Milwaukee, and Thursday morning was Catholic morning prayer time, and I decided we were going to do this novena to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you why. There was a lady named Elena Guerra. She is a blessed, so she's on the path to beatification as a saint. She was a mystic in the second half of the 1800s. And founder of the Oblate Sisters of the Holy Spirit in Lucca in Italy, northern Italy. Pope St. John the 23rd called her the Apostle of the Holy Spirit and quoted her in one of his most famous prayers at the start of Vatican II. He prayed, "Renew your wonders in this our day as by a new Pentecost." Starting in 1886, she wrote a dozen letters to Pope Leo XIII. I don't know if you know anything about Pope Leo XIII, probably one of the least likely popes ever to read something and respond to you. She wrote the first of a dozen letters starting in 1886, begging him to renew the church through a return of the Holy Spirit. She wrote, "If only the Veni, Veni Creator Spiritus, come Holy Spirit, if only the Veni could become as familiar to the church as the Ave, Ave Maria, Hail Mary, that she thought that the church would experience this renewal." Her first letter in 1895 to Pope Leo, no, sorry, her third letter in 1895 to Pope Leo resulted in an encyclical from the Pope in which her novena was published, and the Pope called upon all the bishops of the world to pray this novena during the 9 days between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday. Like I said, it's beginning this Friday for us, and you'll find it in the bulletin. Well, I just want to say as an aside that throughout our history, there are women like this all over the place that are writing letters and contacting the Pope and changing so many things in the church. So women are definitely not ignored, although they probably don't get the attention that they should get. But that's changing too. But what happened? The bishops didn't respond. The bishops didn't say the novena. They didn't tell the people in their dioceses to pray. And I can only wonder why there would have been no response, maybe here and there. But then I started to think about it. My mother's parents, well, you know about my mom. I talk about her a lot. So it would always be about around Pentecost when I would finally get home to celebrate my Easter break with my family. So I would always celebrate Mass at my home parish. And it would always be Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, by the way, was my first Mass. I celebrated on Pentecost. Anyway, Pentecost Sunday, we would always be driving home in the car. And my mom would say, "I don't know, Don. I don't know. All this stuff about the Holy Spirit, it sounds kind of Protestant." Leo XIII was the one who fought against the Protestants more than anybody else. And the church in those days was the thing. I mean, the Holy Spirit's emphasized the Protestants. The Protestants emphasized the Holy Spirit, and we always emphasized the Eucharist. This was a little battle that was going on back and forth. I don't know. But anyway, my mom's parents were born in 1899 and 1900. So it's quite possible that she was just thinking what she was taught to think, or what she saw her parents thinking. Blessed Elena Guerra's fourth letter resulted in Pope Leo's encyclical on the Holy Spirit in 1897. Still, the bishops did not respond. Her ninth letter, October 15, 1900, called upon Pope Leo to place the new century under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and she asked him to begin the first Mass of the year on January 1, 1901, chanting the Veni Creator Spiritus. It's the same text we use at Pentecost Sunday as the sequence. The prayer was prayed intentionally in a very real way. And about at that same moment, Protestants were chanting the same prayer in Topeka, Kansas, at the Bethel Bible College. It was called the Topeka Outpouring. The Holy Spirit came upon all the people at the prayer meeting in Topeka, and Pentecostalism was born. Within a week, all the students on campus were speaking in tongues. Isn't that amazing? This was the new Pentecost that Pope Leo was looking for. Unfortunately, not in the Catholic Church. Other manifestations followed, but the most notable for us was when a group of students were on retreat at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh in 1967, when the same thing happened again. And the Catholic charismatic renewal was born. It was called the Duquesne Weekend. Well, I know you've heard me say all of this before, but I think it warrants repeating. John Paul II was very popular about saying sacraments are received by all of us, and we receive them, but we never open them because we like the pretty wrapping paper. We never even know what's inside the box. In order for us to really enter into the mystery of what we're receiving, a tradition of a church, 2,000 years worth of treasures, we have to have real appreciation and consideration for what is really inside the box. Sacraments are gateways to encounter God. They are moments which unfold the mystery of God becoming us. This has been my theme for the last couple weeks, too. God is love itself. God becomes us. We become love. And until we actually get to that point and just think that love is something we might deserve or not deserve, or God might choose to love or not love, we're never going to get to the point of what these sacraments are all about. Sacraments are given to us because this is the way God becomes us and we change into Him. Nothing more and nothing less than a miracle. It cannot be met with compliance. We simply can't do what we have to do because it's what we have to do. We have to commit to it because it is who we are. So we prayed the prayer at Christian Unity, at the week of prayer for Christian Unity last week, and I was hoping for a new Pentecost. Nobody burst into tongues or anything like that, but I can't help to think that there were about 150 people that went home with a text of the Holy Spirit novena, at least, and maybe they'll use them in their own congregations. But I just want to leave you with this question, and I don't think we really genuinely ask with absolute faith. If you were to ask genuinely with absolute faith for the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you, it would happen. So then our prayer today must be increase our faith and help us to be genuine in asking.